مارك السهابة The Voice of أهل السنة والجماعة.
السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. مفتي حسن علي سليمان, hope you well this morning.
وعليكم السلام, الحمد لله. Pakistan's in the bad. Yes, all is okay. We got rain this morning. So, الحمد لله, Allah's رحمة has come upon Karachi.
الحمد لله.
For the first time in a long time. So, الحمد لله for that.
And
what about South Africa?
No, South Africa is warming up. We have our first of spring, or first of September is known as the day of spring. And yeah, so it's warming up. We're getting rid of more blankets. And but what I want to ask you is, what's happening there with the floods in Pakistan? A lot of people still passing away, or what's happening? So Karachi, that's where you in.
Right.
There hasn't been rain
Karachi
in a while.
Is,
yeah. So, but the other areas?
We don't have, we have flooding because of the poor sewage. Okay. They don't clean out the underground like they should before the monsoon season. So whenever a little bit of water comes down, it always comes back above ground. So we have that type of flooding, and every now and then electrical wires will be disconnected and fall into the water. People get electrocuted and things like that. But this is a city of 20 million people, so if like 100 people or less than 100 people are affected, it's really nothing. You know, it doesn't make the news or anything. The villages, they're having the problems because you have the ground with all the water into the ground, the soil moves and everything. It's not earthquakes, but the shifting of the ground. So you have a lot of problems there. But we have very little problems here, other than the drainage system here in Karachi. And I don't have family here in villages, so I really don't follow it too much.
Okay.
The newspapers will have it, but I don't even, since I don't know the places, the names of the places, it really doesn't affect me. So I really just concern myself with Karachi.
Karachi and South Africa, because you speak to us almost.
Yes. And from time to time, New York. All the people that I left over there.
Now, there's a few things that we can discuss today. One is Catherine Clark. She's the House Minority Whip, and she's a member of the Democratic Leadership Team. Last week, became the highest ranking member of Congress to characterize the war in Gaza as a genocide. So is this something good, or how would we view this?
Well, it goes back to social media. For all these years, we never had social media, so we only heard one side of Israel. Okay, the Arabs were always wrong and Israel was always right, and it was the only democracy in the Middle East, and they had to be protected, and the Christian Jewish, the history together, what have you, needed to be stabilized and everything. But now, because of people being able to see the truth is going out. When they do the polls, they show that, especially the young college age and a little bit older in America, they're against Israel. All right, so this is the first time it's happening. Now, you're a politician, you go with the majority if you want to get elected. So you have a problem when you have AIPAC, the Jewish Political Action Committee, giving you money to support Israel and say all the good things, and then you have the reality on the ground that your voting base, they're against Israel. So you may see in the future more and more politicians in America coming out and saying the truth, because they feel that since the people are against Israel, that if they do not take the money from the Israeli PAC, then the people that will be voting for them will replace, you know, the type of support they would get from the Jews. So before, if you would have, like, denied the money from the AIPAC, all right, AIPAC would put up somebody to run against you, all right? But if, who's going to vote for them if the people as a majority are now against what Israel is doing? Okay, and we have some very good, there's a Shia reporter, Mehdi Hassan, huh? He's got his own independent show, and he has all the facts and exposing everyone. And there's other shows like this that are exposing what Israel is doing. People are not looking at the mainstream media, looking at the social media and the independent journalists, and seeing what's really happening, and it has to hurt you when you see what's going on. We all have, you know, hearts. So, you know, Israel just continues to lie, but the lies are being exposed. So before, in colonial days, the way to get through was through the drum, okay, and have meetings and they offset what the colonial powers were doing. Now it's the media, but it's the social media, the independent media, that's exposing what Israel is doing, the last colonial power to Israel. I read also yesterday that 70% of the expenses or the cost of the war for Israel, 70% has been paid by America.
Mm.
Okay, so people are arguing in this direction. Why are we financing this genocide? And they're able to see the genocide in real time. Whereas before, it was just, well, no, that's a lie. Israel would just come out, no, it's not, we're not killing them, we're not doing that. But now when you look and you see the people that are there, and they have cameras, and you know, they have phones with cameras, and they're showing you this thing day after day after day after day, and slowly comes out, you know, and third-party people, you know, who are working as doctors or aid workers or like that are coming out telling the truth. Okay, so the lie can't last for so long. You see? Mm. The thing about the Holocaust was never really investigated, all right? It's 6 million Jews were killed. That's what they say. All right. And if you try to refute that now, that you've broken the law in most countries. Okay. You cannot deny the Holocaust.
Mm.
Okay. But here, if you try to deny the genocide and they show you actual footage of what's going on, okay, now there's an argument. Now that is pushback.
Mm.
There was no pushback, 70 years ago. So that's the thing, I believe. The fact that the media has been able to expose it and people have been looking at it for months.
Mm.
It's not like a, you know, 1 week or 2 week thing. It's been more than a year. And this latest genocide, with the starving of the people for months. And then finally, when you let the food in, and the people go for the food at the sites, you shoot them down.
Mm.
And when you look at it and you see that these are not Hamas people, these are children, more than 20,000 children, and the majority of them under the age of 12. Mm. So when you have these facts, when you have the proof behind it with the video, then, yeah, there's going to be pushback. That couldn't happen in World War II and the other times.
Mm. And as you said, this year we've got the statement of a former head of military intelligence for the Israeli diaper forces, who called the deaths of 50,000 Palestinians. They call for the deaths of 50,000 Palestinians in Gaza necessary and required for future generations. So what he says, this is his so-called master theory. He says, this is Ehron Haliva in a newly released audio. And these audio clips, by the way, were aired by Israeli broadcaster Channel 12. He says that for every person who died on the 7th of October, 50 Palestinians must die, even if they are children. Even if they are children. So this is their theory. And when, you know what's strange? If you see the... I was just explaining to my daughter the other day that, see, when someone is bad to you or ugly to you, you don't have to become ugly like them. And this is what we've seen, that generally the Palestinians, they haven't this. I heard this by a non-Muslim who said this yesterday. If you look at the way they responded, it wasn't the same response like how these people have responded or retaliated. So I said to her that you don't become ugly like them, because then you're going to become ugly. So you stay, maintain with this character and beautiful character that we are supposed to be having as a Muslim and as a believer. But now to go down to their level and just to prove a point, that's not going to be befitting of a believer. If you see the figures of how many people were killed on the 7th of October, and you look at the squatters that were killed, the number still remains the same. Maybe here and there one odd number. Yes, the soldiers, they've been killed and those numbers are growing drastically. But when you look at the actual squatters, it's only less than 2,000 and it remained constant. But when you saw the Palestinians, then you saw that number just growing and growing and growing, and the bulk of them was women and children. And it makes total sense why they are targeting the women and children, because women, they have the factory to make more Palestinians. And as long as more Palestinians are going to be born, this is going to serve as a bigger threat for them, and they can't change the narrative. And children are growing up. They're seeing all of this here, that anger is being planted in them. It's been drilled in them. So as soon as they get a little bit bigger and capable, they're always going to be on the attack. And you saw this with so many who moved to different countries, but they still now, they remain in those countries, although they were from Palestine previously, but they understand where they're coming from. And now they're sort of getting in touch with that, with their youth, and that anger is building up. So this is what's causing them to then march in all these universities and streets. We're not saying that's what you must do, but this is what they are doing. So children, women, this is the bulk of them. And this man, Ahron, I don't know if you can call him a man, or what do you call people who kill and call for the killing of children of this nature? He says, and this I said to you, broadcasted on Israeli broadcaster Channel 12, 50 Palestinians must die for every squatter that died on the 7th of October. And he says, even if they are children. Another interesting thing that happened, and I'll share this with you, Mufti Saab, is that we know the Australian representatives, they have called and cancelled the visas of certain far-right Israeli politicians. So what did the rogue regime Israel do in return? They said, we also cancel certain Australian representatives to the Palestinian Authority. And this was to act in retaliation. So just yesterday, Australian government cancelled the visa of Rothman. Rothman is one of the far-right politicians, and they said, we're cancelling your visa, you're not allowed, you can't come into the country for 3 years. And for the reason they gave is because of his open support for displacing Palestinians from Gaza and calling Palestinian children Israel's enemies. So that's, again, how do you call these children enemies? So one other aspect I wanted to say before you... Australia has said that this is their proposal. They want to... No, in fact, this is Italy. We move to Italy now. So these are all non-Muslim countries. Italy has said that they want to give the Nobel Prize to the children of Gaza. And then if we recall, just not so long ago, we spoke about this as well on this particular program. Pakistan wants Trump for the Nobel Prize because of his role he played in India and Pakistan. So I'm just trying to say, how do we reconcile this two?
You see who's still in the pocket of America, and that's the Pakistan leadership. Okay, they can't think right. All right, I think the shaitan is urinating in their ears at night, all right, because they don't wake up for Fajr. I was thinking about what you were talking about, all these things being exposed, is when I was younger and you were going through the fight in South Africa with the apartheid government before Nelson Mandela was released from prison and ran for president. But during that apartheid fight, we didn't get the information about what the freedom fighters in South Africa were doing. We only got what the government was saying, that you people were a bunch of rabble-rousers and there's a lot of stuff happening from other countries and people are coming over and causing problems in South Africa. But we have the best government and being run in the whole continent and this and that. And, you should not be boycotting us and things like that. So we didn't have it. If we would have had the social media back then, I think Nelson would have got out of prison a little bit earlier. And you would have had a lot less problems. You see, with the information, because the government controls the media, it just doesn't get out. But again, when you have an open media, or you have another media, that's able to work, how many people from Qatar, from Al Jazeera, have lost their lives? There's a reason for that. Okay, there's a reason for that. Alhamdulillah, alhamdulillah for that. And the other thing I wanted to say was, alhamdulillah, Allah are keeping people poor and, weak and not able to really fight back as much as we would like to. Because if they were able to get revenge, someone who has the ability to take revenge doesn't always think with a clear mind. Okay? When you look at Isa alayhi salam, all right, people say how calm he was, and he's the prophet of peace, and he was this and he was that. But also, he didn't have an army, and he didn't have the ability to fight. Okay? Whereas the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, at Fatih Makkah, he showed patience. All right? He could have took full revenge from everybody, and he didn't take any revenge. Okay, and there was no problem with him taking revenge if he wanted to. So again, if there were a lot of guns and a lot of weaponry in Gaza right now, there may have been some some zoom being done on our side to any other innocent. Although I don't think any of the Jews are innocent, but. Any non-combatant Jew over there. So alhamdulillah, Allah is the best planner. And because of all this, the calmness and the sabr that they are displaying, so many people are accepting Islam.
Allah.
So many people are accepting it. They just can't understand how your people are being slaughtered, you're being starved to death, and you're not cursing, your God or your religion. What kind of religion is this? Okay, now come, we'll teach you about this. We'll show you what this is all about. And I have been saying for months now, we the Muslims, we're not ready to give the dawah. And it's a perfect opportunity. Perfect opportunity. Okay? So instead of just saying, oh, the Jews are no good, we can say, look, how compare our religion to your religion, or compare our religion to their religion. But the second largest religion in America is agnostic. They believe in God, but they don't believe in religion.
Yes.
You see, we have to reach these people.
Yes.
And now's the time to do it.
Exactly.
Now's the time to do it.
In fact, just yesterday, the chief rabbi, Yitzhak Yosef, he serves as a spiritual leader for the ultra-Orthodox Shas party. He said that a number of years ago, Netanyahu, he threw the Haredim aside and formed the government with the left. And Yosef, his name is Yosef, this chief rabbi. And he says, we must not forget that what he did, Netanyahu. And he says we must not believe him either. He is an atheist. He doesn't believe in anything. Now, you've got one of your rabbis, chief rabbis, saying that you, Netanyahu, that you are an atheist, you don't believe in anything. And it's true. You can't believe in anything. But to do these crimes, you're just living without a conscience. Another fact that I wanted to say, as you've said so beautifully now just moments ago, and just reflecting on in the verse of the Quran Sharif, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says this here. وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ وَلَتَسْمَعُنَّ مِنَ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَمِنَ الَّذِينَ أَشْرَكُوا. So you'll definitely hear from those people who were given the book previously, prior to you, as well as those who, all your Modis and the rest, those idol worshippers. أَذَنْ كَثِيرًا, Allah says. A lot of pain being caused, and you will hear a lot of pain coming from these people. So it is those who are given the book previously, which we are witnessing, and those who commit shirk, those who are the idol worshippers. And as you've said, our response and the beauty of this response of calmness and in this particular manner, we're speaking of not those on the battlefield and those who need to fight, that's the difference, but everywhere else in the world, you're seeing this here. And the Allah gives the solution to this. وَإِن تَصْبِرُوا وَتَتَّقُوا. If you express, you exercise patience, and you adopt taqwa, فَإِنَّ مِنْ ذَلِكَ فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Then this is from those affairs of which requires a lot of patience, resilience, and this kind of courage. So the response, as you said, is patience, taqwa, and this is the way going forward. And as you said, perhaps if we did have a lot of weapons, our response may have been different. But also, if you look at Suratul Anfal, verse number 60, Allah teaches us there that you don't have to match them in weapons. You just have to present yourself. وَعِدُّوا لَهُمْ مَسْتَطَعْتُمْ مِنْ قُوَى. Prepare against them what you can of the power. And Allah didn't say you have to match them in their sophisticated weapons and the rest. Speaking of sophisticated weapons, I was just reading Pakistan. What weapons you people have? Shaheen 3 missiles. That thing can go 2,750 kilometers. And this was, when you see where it was born, where it was made in Pakistan. And I said, yo, mashallah, yes. Quite nice missiles, but not being used.
No, of course not. That's the way we are over here. We'll bring it out on the 14th of August and just display it, and everyone can see it, and 21 gun salutes and everything. And then the other 364 days, we go back to being slaves to the West. So that's the way we are. You can see.
Just last thing we need to speak about. I think you sent it to me a few days ago. We didn't discuss it as yet. Independence Day. They fired shots in Pakistan and few people passed away. Is this correct?
Yeah. In Karachi alone, there's reported 100 people were injured. But I think the government said it was less than 50 or something like that. The governor or chief minister of Sindh, he broke the Guinness Book of World Records for the longest fireworks display on the 14th of August. So we're very pleased and we're happy about that. The Pakistan has made the Guinness Book of World Records because of this. But yeah, people, it's against the law to fire in the air on Independence Day, but yet the chief minister was firing, doing fireworks for so long that he made the Guinness Book of World Records, something like 2 hours or something like that.
But I must say, you people are dangerous in your celebrations. I mean, killing people for Independence Day, this goes against logic. I mean, you're supposed to be making people independent from the previous regimes and the previous torture and death. But you go and kill people while celebrating this.
But it's only for one day, my brother. It's only for one day. We are Azadi for one day, and the rest of the year, we are Gulami. Okay? But as I told my rickshaw driver, and every day we're Harami, okay, the way we treat each other. Whether we're free or whether we're slaves, we're not treating each other as proper Muslims, it's sad.
I must clarify, because sometimes one listener may say, hey, look at this Mufti. He's saying one day it's fine to kill people. So I'm just warning the listeners that this is sarcasm. No, I'm just telling the listeners because I understand you, but you get those listeners who say, so this is pure sarcasm.
Yeah, this is Brooklyn humor. Okay, that I brought to Karachi. Yeah. You know, Brooklyn is always in me. I can't help it.
Just to end off, you know, when Afghanistan Taliban does good, we praise them and we at the forefront. But when they go is celebrating also Independence Day and lighting up the whole city because of Independence Day and firing all of this firecrackers and the rest, we say Allah has blessed you with this independence. Why? What would have Mullah Umar do? Rahmatullah alayhi. He wouldn't have did these things and the rest. Why not live and carry on that legacy? You've got the freedom, independence to do so. So, yeah, just...
They have the same problem that where we have. We here in Pakistan, we're living off the reputation of our elders who have died and gone away, like Mufti Shafi, rahmatullahi alayhi, and all the others. Okay, the ulama that we have now are not grounded in tasawwuf like our elders were. Okay, and so we don't have people that can help each other out. And that's how it is in Afghanistan with Pakistan. Okay, Afghanistan, they made a country. They're trying to bring some Sharia there, but they don't have a Mullah Umar to guide them because he was the one that had the morality and the taqwa. He had the taqwa for the whole army, for the whole country. Mm. Okay, when the ulama from Pakistan came to him and told him, listen, you're going to lose your country. Give Osama to the kuffar. Mm. All right. And he looked at them and said, you people are my ustaz. And I don't believe that you're asking me to do this. You're telling me to hand over a Muslim to the kuffar without any proof. Mm. All right. Mm-hmm. But, and even his assistants were like, yeah, we need to give him up because he's putting too much pressure on the country. And no, Umar would not stand down. Mm. All right? He stood up and defended himself. Mm. But who is there now in the Afghan government? Who is there now in the Pakistan government that can talk like that? Mm. You see?
Yes.
So whenever there was a problem, just before I came in, so like in the last 50 years, whenever there was a problem, Mufti Shafi Rahmatullahi would call on other leading ulama, and they would discuss things and then come out with a joint fatwa. Mm. Now every darloom has its own fatwa. Mm. Okay, they have their own opinion. All right, that wasn't the case before. So I mean, we can talk about it again at another time. Mm. But Gangohi, Rahmatullahi, and Maulana Tanvi, how they would work together, and even though they had the same Sheikh, Haji Imdadullah, Haji would give them the ability to, like, okay, you're a Marid and he's a Marid. It's something he's doing that I don't know anything about. You correct me, and there's no problem with it. And he had no problem with that. Oftentimes, Maulana Dambi Rahmatullah Alayh would go to Maulana Gangohi Rahmatullah Alayh and ask him about things, all right, instead of going to his sheikh.
Okay.
Okay, Haji Imdadullah. We don't have that here now.
Exactly. But let's, we'll save this, inshallah, for another day. Interesting topic there. So, inshallah, we'll speak to you tomorrow. Mufti Sahib, Jazakumullah khairan for your time. Make dua for us.
Inshallah. Wa alaikum assalam.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.